Well, welcome the rest of our church. The rest of our church is now joining us via our live stream. Church, if you are just joining us, this is our, if you are just joining us online at least, this is the first time that we have tried to live stream like this from our church building. So thanks for adapting and for tuning in at a new time, and we'll see how this goes. Let me know if things work well or don't. Just give me an email or a holler after the service. But right now, we are going to, I'm going to read from our scripture passage first, actually, and then we're going to hear from the latest edition of the Cornerstone Check-In. Our scripture this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 in ESV. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we think or ask, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Hi, Cornerstone family. In this season, what I have been doing is, since the end of March, I've been working from home. So I just go to work every morning in my office. And as well, our Sweet Adeline chorus is continuing to meet. We're meeting via Zoom. We're learning new music. We're just trying to continue on the best we can without actually being together. So it's a little challenging, but it's good. A couple of weeks ago, I had three of my four kids over for the weekend to help me do some cleanup, particularly in the yard. We're also working in the house, but my son did some tree trimming and took care of a bunch of overgrowth under all of these cedar trees back here. So we got that taken care of. Of course, in the process, we found some poison ivy that I got into and have had a little bit of an issue with. It's not too bad. So this week I'm taking vacation from work, and I'm bringing four of my grandkids over, those four little granddaughters that you've seen at church several times. Delaney and Leah will be coming first, and then midweek we'll trade them out for their sisters, Kennedy and Jocelyn, and we just have some fun Oma time with those four girls this week. And that's pretty much what my life has been in the last several months. I miss you all.
I'm figuring this out, so just a moment, you guys. This is the on switch?
No, it's on the side.
Ha-ha. That's the one thing I didn't know. There we go. And so.
You hold it in your left hand.
And then it should go to there.
There we are.
There. That was our scripture reading today. And I had to really search my heart for the scriptures I wanted to use this time. You are going to see a lot of scriptures up there because there's so many that apply to what I'm talking about. And the reason Ben asked me to talk about it is something I am passionate about, and that's prayer. And in particular, intercessory prayer. One of my favorite scriptures that I go over and over again every time before I sit down to pray is, well, we'll get through it. There we go. And my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. That's Isaiah 56:7. Some translations put it this way. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. That means there's not one single one of us that it doesn't apply to. That's been my heart's cry for decades now. But I had to be brought to my knees in the house of God and cry out to Him before prayer became a necessity in my life. I mean, I prayed, don't we all, if we say we're a Christian? Especially those of us who have been brought up in the church. We pray before meals. Well, except when we're in public sometimes. We pray before we go to bed. Well, as long as our kids are young enough and we pray with them. You know, we pray silently in church. And we pray when we use someone close to us needs help. But when I was told that my baby boy was going to probably die or be a vegetable, my life, prayer life changed drastically. And it was because of those one reasons, you know, that I talked about. I, my son, together, our family, needed God's help desperately. So I went to the prayer benches that we had in front of the church I was attending, and I got on my knees. And as the worship team sang, I cried out to God to heal my baby boy. I would do anything He asked at all, as long as He healed my baby. He was just a year old. God, heal my son. And I heard God. I mean, I actually heard Him speak to me. And He said, will you still love me and serve me if I don't? Now, God, this is not the way it's supposed to work. You see, I come to You, Your God, and I pray, and Your part in this deal is You heal my son. And I felt this warmth just fill my body. And it was this deep, intense, indescribable love. The love of the Father towards me, towards my son. And I heard the voice of God again. And will You still love me and serve me if I do not? I did not realize it then, but God was introducing me to a lifetime of prayer, teaching me how to be an intercessor. Intercessory prayer is the act of praying on the behalf of others. The role of a mediator in prayer has always been before us in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, Abraham, Moses, David, Samuel, Hezekiah, Elijah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, they were all intercessors. And Jesus in the New Testament, He is the ultimate intercessor for us. I do have it. And because of this, all Christian prayer becomes intercession, since it's offered to God through and by Jesus Christ. Jesus closed the gap between God and humankind when He died upon the cross. And because of Jesus' intercession, we can now follow His example and intercede on behalf of other Christians or for the lost, for the world, asking God to hear our prayers and act according to His will. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. That's found in 1 Timothy 2:5. I always tell people, don't rely just on me. I'm a human. Rely upon God and His word. If it's not there to back it up, then you really need to seek God's guidance on it. So that's why there's so many scriptures through you guys. I want you to see, this is what God is saying. The second scripture, Jesus Christ, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Romans 8:34. True intercessory prayer seeks not only to know God's will and see it fulfilled, but to see it fulfilled whether or not it benefits us and regardless of what it costs us. True intercessory prayer seeks God's glory, not ours. To get to that point, the first thing I had to realize, though, was how much God loved me, how much he loved all of us, how he loves all of us. Most of us are familiar with the scripture, John 3:16. I want you guys to say it with me, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We say we know that he loves us. And we say that we love him. But with true love comes trust. And how many of us trust God in all areas of our life? Do we trust him with our loved ones? With our bills? With our health? With our future? Do we truly believe that with God, nothing is impossible? That's found in Luke and Matthew. Once I had accepted God's love for me and my son, I knew just inside of me, I had to give him everything. All of me. Not just a part here or there, but lay down all defenses and be completely vulnerable and say, God, I am yours. I could hold nothing back. I had to submit myself to God, to trust him, and to learn his ways. That meant taking a hard look at myself and saying, Lord, have mercy and forgive me of my many sins, whether intentional or not. And then, what was even the hardest part? It was accepting his forgiveness, to really believe I could be forgiven of all those things. And as I did this, I was able to live in that love he has for me, that he has for everyone. And the more I actually did that, it's amazing. His ways started becoming my ways. His desires, when I prayed, became my desires. And I truly enjoyed being in his presence. I delighted in it. Psalms 37:4 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do it. I turned off the TV. I got out my Bible, and every free moment was spent consuming his word. I was all of a sudden, it was new to me. I'd been grew up in the church. I knew it, but it had new meanings. It became alive to me. It was Psalms 34:8 lived out. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And the more I read his word, the more I knew why I could trust him. The more I believed in what he said, and the more time I spent in conversation with him. By the way, that's also known as prayer. I had our rooms in our house that had scriptures written all over the walls, even some that had it on the ceilings. And instead of borders in our house, we actually had the names of God and Jesus stenciled upon them. I wanted a reminder of God, who he was, and what he said, and what he promised, and what he asked me to do. I wanted to be in front of my eyes at all times in our home so that I wouldn't forget it. I finally understood what it meant when in the Old Testament and in some Jewish households today, they said they have the scripture upon the doorpost. I got it. And as we dedicated our lives and our home to God, our house became a house of prayer for all people. I mean, they would just show up on our doorsteps. I didn't even have to invite them. Some of them I didn't know. They were just referred in. But God knew that we would be there and we would pray for them. He sent them. You see, it had to start with me as an individual. I had to ask myself if I believe God's word and what it says. Because 1 Corinthians 3:16 asks me, do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So, if I believe I am the temple of God, also known as the church, and God said in the Old Testament, and Jesus quoted him in the New Testament, that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations and people, then I and all believers should be known together to pray for God's will and for one another. We should be the ones that stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22:29-30. It's another one that really has a special meaning for me. The people of the land have practiced extortion and committed robbery. They have oppressed the poor and needy and have exploited the foreign resident without justice. And I searched for a man among them to repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. That really hits my heart, every part of me, that in the entire world, God looked for somebody to intercede, to stand in that gap, and there was no one there. I want to be the one. We are all called to be that one. We should all be intercessors. There is an erroneous idea in contemporary Christianity that those who offer up intercessory prayers or have a special class or badge that says super Christian intercessor, called by God to a specific ministry. No. The Bible is clear that all Christians are called to be intercessors. All Christians have the Holy Spirit within them, and just as He intercedes for us in accordance with God's will, we are to intercede for one another. Romans 8:26-27. This is not a privilege limited to an exclusive Christian elite. This is a command for all. As I studied His word, I learned that to not intercede for others is called sin in the Bible. And that really hit home for me. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. 1 Samuel 12:23. And I thought of the world and all those in need of prayer and how I had been too busy, occupied. You know, and it was busy doing good. But God spoke to me that the best, most worthy good I could do was to pray. Peter and Paul, when asking others to intercede for them, did not limit the request to those with a special calling to intercession. Acts 12:5 tells us, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Notice it was the whole church that prayed for him, not just those with a gift or had a calling for intercession or prayer. In Ephesians 6:16-18, Paul exhorts the Ephesian believers, all of them, on the fundamentals of the Christian life, which includes the intercession on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Intercessory prayer is a vital part of the Christian life for all believers. I have brothers and sisters around the world who pray for me, and I for them. My son gets on to me because I will be up all night or in the early morning hours, you know, on Facebook. The reason is a lot of my brothers and sisters in Africa and Europe and others, that's when they're awake. And that's when they send a prayer request or ask for mine. And I'm not going to miss that chance to pray. When we were going through our adoption process with Lily, we had no idea how it actually turned out because we had to ask for our biological parents' rights to be severed. Fellow believers, though, in Africa, prayed and fasted around the clock for us for weeks. They had somebody assigned to go to their church, which had a mud floor, you know, post made out of wood and tin roof. But there was somebody for weeks in there praying, saying, Tag, you're it for us. And when I looked at my own church body and out there, and myself, once again, my heart broke. Because why aren't we doing this? It's our call. Ezekiel 22:30. I searched for a man among them to repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Again, I want to be the one that stands in the gap. I know it is God's will for his people to stand in the gap because God's word says so. I know it works because I've seen how our prayers become reality and how lives are changed for the good, how they're changed for God. Being an intercessor, you have to realize, though, it should be a selfless act. If you're a believer, then you know God has you in the palm of his hand. John 28, 27 through 29 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." You know, you and I, as believers, are in the best place to be. We are safe in the Father's hand. It's that way so we can focus on others. We can be the one who stands in the gap between God and others. We can dare to go before our Almighty God and contend for those around us. Yes. Intercession is a practice that takes devotion and a heartfelt desire to see someone else's life changed for the better. And all believers are called to participate in it. The Apostle Paul put it like this: "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people, first of all, and ask God to help them and intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them." 1 Timothy 2:1. I want you to realize what Paul is saying here. It's not easy. We are called to pray for all people, the ones we do not agree with, the ones who have hurt us, the ones who are sitting in jail or maybe should be, all people, and ask God to help them. That is why I'm telling you, being an intercessor has to be selfless. Why we have to be selfless? Die daily to self, like Scripture says. And then it says that we are to give thanks for them, for all people. Jesus interceded for those who arrested him, who tortured and killed him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I have learned to pray that over and over when I look at how broken our world is and all the pain, so much that I feel the earth is groaning. But it's those prayers that change the world, that brings God's kingdom closer to here on earth. And then we can pray as Paul prayed. We can intercede for one another, as I am going to do for you now. You see, as Pastor Ben read earlier, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant every one of you and everyone watching online, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints," all the believers, guys, "what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled." I want you to be filled with the fullness of God. "So now to him who is able to do far more abundant than anything I have asked here today, that we ask or we think, according to the power at work within us, to him, to God, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And may we, as individuals and the body of Christ known as the church, may we be known as a house of God, a house of prayer. I don't know if we have it up there. Do we have the music that was on here? Oh, we didn't get it. So that's fine. What I'm going to do right now is we're just going to dismiss, but I'm asking that any of you who would like to stay and pray at this time, you're socially distanced, you're correct, but we're here as a body, united as one. And God says, when we're united as one as the church, He is here with us as we know. And He says, His will be done as we pray. So when we join together now to pray, just silently, whatever God puts on your heart. And when you're ready, you are dismissed. And we ask that you just leave and go outside where there you can fellowship with